have a watch on. Does anybody have a watch on? And why do we have a watch? We have a watch to keep time. And Wednesday night we started a series about the timing of God, and I want to continue that today. God has a time for you. God has a time for His church. Usually it's not our time, but He's always on time. I want to talk to you this morning about the appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. All of us make appointments and we have to keep them. Well, do you know before the foundation of the world, God set up appointments for you and I? That God set up appointments for His church. At the right time, He's going to reveal what He has for all of us. I want you to look at the book of Galatians chapter 4. I love this portion of scripture. Paul's talking to the church there in Galatia. He's talking about grace and about the law, and he begins to expound about the difference. But I'm going to extract a principle here that Paul is trying to convey to us, not only to the church there. Galatians 4 verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Lord, bless your word this morning. Help us understand the appointed time. And everybody said, Amen. Paul starts out, he says, listen, you can be an heir, but if you're not thinking right, you don't live like you are a child of God. So the question is threefold here. Number one, how are we thinking? Are we thinking as a son? Are we thinking that there was a time appointed that God intervened in our life? How about this? How are we speaking? Because my sonship changes my vocabulary. The third thing is, how are you living? And I guess what Paul's trying to get here to the church, the Galatian church, is this understanding that under the law, you were actually in bondage to that law because nobody is perfect. But God had an appointed time that He adopted us. You know, the moment you and I became born again, we were adopted out of the world from under the law to sonship. Amen. He says, this child is under tutors and governors. Well, a tutor instructs and a governor guides. He's talking to me indirectly about the Holy Spirit does that. Do you realize that the Spirit of God is the one that directed you and I to our appointments with God? It was the Spirit of God that got you to the altar. It was the Spirit of God that brought you to your husband or wife. It was the Spirit of God that brought you to this assembly. Because He works with the calendar of God. None of us could keep the appointments of God if the Spirit of God hadn't been tutoring us and instructing us and governing us. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then He goes, to redeem them because we were in bondage under the elements of the world. You see, a child has two things they must be delivered from. Number one, a child has incomplete knowledge. They might know how to say A, B, C, but a child has incomplete knowledge. knowledge. And I want to tie that into the understanding that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That we are not here under the beggarly elements of the world. That my life is not to bow to the philosophies of this world, to the things of this world which are antichrist, but I'm here to be a son. You're here to be a daughter of God. And Paul said, a child is always wondering who they are because of incomplete knowledge. Who am I? I don't know who I am. At my age, I better know who I am. I am not what people say I am. I'm not what people think about me. I'm not what people's opinions are. You and I are children of God. And the devil will do everything he can to convince you that you are still trying to be a son when you're already a son. You've got to pray something. A child also has incomplete experiences. Child knows nothing about being married. A child knows nothing about a full-time job. God allows experiences in his appointed time because the tribulation worketh experience, which causes hope to rise up to another level. You know, hope can be measured. And a lot of times we think we have this great hope, but our incomplete knowledge of our sonship and the beggarly elements of the world fight against each other. Let me tell you something, mister. Let me tell you something, man. You're not what your family tells you who you are. You're not who your brothers and sisters label you who you are. And they probably, some will understand and some won't. But you know what? It don't matter to me anymore. I've been labeled by my family ever since I first got saved, and we were in a family reunion, and it was about 30 or 40, and they had me pray. I tell you what, I prayed heaven glorious and hell hot. Guess what? I was labeled after that. Doesn't matter to me, because none of my family reached out. What hell was at my door? None of my family reached out and saved me out of a miry pit and put my feet on a rock and established my goings. Only the King of Kings. Because I had an appointed time, and you had an appointed time, and God's not done keeping his appointments with you. There are things ahead. You would be shocked if you knew how good God was going to treat you. Give him a praise, somebody here. You see, Paul said, your understanding of your sonship frees you from the elements of the world. Knowing who you are frees you. Too many of us are people pleasers. Too many of us are looking to people to affirm us. Too many. Oh, guess what? People are going to let you down because they can't really understand your emotions. The problem is we don't know who we are. Paul said, the understanding to live in the appointed time is to cry, Abba, Father. And I look to no one but my Father. Appreciate encouragement, appreciate, but I'm not looking to a man to affirm my sonship. Abba, Father. The greatest thing you can do to prayer is not just intercede for the world or intercede like Moses for God's people. The greatest thing you can do in prayer is say, Father, I love you. You begot me. You adopted me, Father God. May I please you, what I say, what I do. You see, that's called prayer. Not just interceding. Paul said that spirits in our heart, they
because I'm not an orphan. Too many of God's people walk around with an orphan spirit.
Too many of God's people are waiting for some big affirmation from a man when they should be seeking the affirmation from God. God loves, let me give you a secret. God loves to hear when we say, Father. Oh, we know He's Creator. We know He's healer, but He loves Him. It's the epitome of my relationship, a father and a son, or a son and daughter, father and daughter. I think of the prodigal son. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. To him, the word father was nothing but a title. He would have never done that if he understood sonship. So the Father gave it to him liberally. The Bible says God gives us freely all things to enjoy. The rain goes on the just and the unjust. And he took it and he spent it. See, his problem was not just the sinful lifestyle. The problem was his disconnect from his Father. That he did not have a mature understanding of sonship. So the beggarly elements of the world, sin, degradation, overwhelmed him. But thank God, like all of us, we caned ourselves in the pig pen. And all of a sudden, he says this, how many hired servants my father has. In other words, you know what? I didn't relate to him, right? I wasn't a servant. I was a taker. I wasn't giving to my father. I was taking from him. He said, I'm going to rise. And I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Father, I didn't relate to you, right? I sinned against you and against heaven. I want to be adopted back into your house. The father said, bring the best robe. Bring the ring. Bring the sandals, the garments. Look at this. My son was dead. Paul's trying to convey here in Galatians that you and I are dead to the curse of the law. We are dead to people's opinions about us. I love what Bishop Jake said the other day. He said, I'd rather go to heaven having been more merciful than more judgmental towards me. People that are judgmental, they're still children, and they're thinking they don't know who they are, so they have to try to get the beam out of others' eyes. You're no longer a servant, but you're a son. So the father said, let's have a party. Because all the father ever wanted before the foundation of the world is to have a people and a relationship that's beyond just creation and creator. He's created other things he doesn't fellowship with, but he wanted us. And even in the Exodus, Moses said, our father. He even mentioned he's our father. You have an appointment with God. You know what the appointment is? To increase our understanding of your sonship. We're spending way too much time trying to get approval from man, from a spouse, from a brother, a sister, a loved one. He's your father. You have an appointment. It might be in your personal prayer time in the presence of God. The Spirit of God, who's the tutor and the governor, begins to instruct and show you. And all of a sudden, our eyes are enlightened. Oh my goodness. Father, it's you I want. Father God, we give all thanks and praise to thee. Father God, we humbly lift our hands to thee. Father God, Abba Father. Abba Father. So many people They don't have that Father image of God. You have an appointment with God's time. You know what the appointment is? It's to discover what sonship is. Turn to somebody and just wave at them. Amen. See, Paul knew who he was. When he was rejected by the Pharisees, rejected, stoned, left for dead, Paul knew who he was. Paul would go to one place and preach the gospel, and they would kill him. He said, I know who I am. I'm not interested in everybody liking me, accepting me. I know I'm in the will of God. I know I'm in the destiny of God. I know that Father God through Christ appeared to me. And guess what? He said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy. Listen, ma'am, you have a course. Listen, sir, you have a course. And on that course, listen, God doesn't show up every day, but if you're on that course, one day he's going to show up because he's got an appointment with you. Yeah. You stay on that path. You don't know when he's going to all of a sudden visit you in the night, all of a sudden give you a dream, all of a sudden give you an unction, all of a sudden lift off a burden. Just keep running the race. And some days you might walk, some days you might run, but just keep going forward. Because he's got an appointment with you.
Yeah.
He's not left you. He's not forsook you. The reason so many are depressed, they feel isolated. But you can't be depressed in the immediate presence of God.
Amen.
You can't be depressed when he's my Father. All men can leave you, yet he won't leave you.
Amen.
You have an appointment with God. To increase the understanding through the Spirit of God, we've not arrived. He's still working in us. Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? We often think there is. We often think this thing is too hard for God. He said, at the time appointed, I'll return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah, Isaac means laughter. I asked you that question. I think too hard for God. Do you think it's hard for God to send revival to our city? Do you think it's too hard for God to save a multitude of young people? No. He says, I have a time appointed, and I'm going to return unto you. God's looking for a people that are hungry for what he wants to do. But there's a time appointed. Listen, God was saying here, you know what, Abraham, Sarah, I'm not going to let you stay barren. I'm going to raise something up. God's not going to let his church stay barren. I said, God's not going to let his church stay barren. I'll say it again, God's not going to let his church stay barren. And even though people have ridiculed the church, the COVID has tried to keep us apart, put in fear, yet God has an appointed time. God has an appointed time with an appointed people that are going to hang on until Sarah births Isaac. Give him a praise, somebody. Psalm 102:13, you will arise and have compassion on Zion, for the time to show favor, the set appointed time has come.
Yeah.
I believe that. If you study favor in the Bible, 99% of the time when God showed it, people were going through horrible times. Favor was not given when everybody was skipping through the tulips, the churches were full. Everybody, no. God showed favor. He's talking there about coming out of Babylon. And when you talk about David said, Lord, you've compassed me about with favor. That's because Saul was trying to kill him. We want favor, but we don't want to be in the midst of problems. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
God chose favor. He raises up Joseph until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried it. We are in a time like never before. God says, who can I favor? Who's going to believe me in this time? Who can I raise up? What congregation can I endow with power and grace and miracles? Let's get our eyes off the news. Let's get our eyes off the bad report. Start believing God for a favor unprecedented in your life and in the life of the church. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time, the set time, the appointed time has come. Job 23:14. I love this. We're going to close. I love this. I'm going to say, I love this. We haven't heard it yet. I love it. But anyway, I love this. Job 23:14. For he performeth. Now get this. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things that are in his mind. He performed. Gosh. I don't have to perform. I don't have to convince him to perform. I just have to believe. For he performeth the thing. Now get this. If this don't make you shout and say amen, I ain't got nothing else in the toolbox. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. I said for me. It's appointed. Ain't no man take it from you. Man could cuss your name, curse at you, leave you, it don't matter. Man can overlook you and mislabel you. Keep your heart right. Because he's going to perform the thing. My God. My God, I'm glad I came to church today. My God, I'm glad that God gave me this word, Bill. I'm glad he said he's going to perform it. What's our part? Cry out. You're my provider. I can take credit for nothing. I cannot boast of things I've done or good works, as Reba Rambo said. But you're my father. And you adopted me. I don't have to be a perfectionist. I don't have to meet everybody's standards, what they think. I have an appointment with my father. I said, I have an appointment. If you have an appointment with your father, even though, as believers, there were times we misused our inheritance, and we thought church was about us, my ministry, and all that, and we just got consumed. Some actually left Father's house and gone to the pig pen. I believe there's many believers in the pig pen today. Away from Father's house. But I believe in my Father. My Father said, is there anything too hard? That one that used to serve God, that your loved one, is anything too hard for Father God? No. Is there anything too hard for Father God, for your prodigal son and daughter and cousins by the cousins? You keep fellowshipping with them. You keep allowing the Holy Spirit, the tutor, the governor, instructor, instructing us and guiding us. Keep letting Him work in your life. Keep loving His people. Keep loving His church, loving His house. You can't have a church in your house with three people. That's not church. You can gather in His name. God established the house of God. You can't set yourself up as some prophetess or apostle, whatever, and no one even acknowledges your gift. You're not relating right to God. You're not relating as a son of a church, son of the Lord. God has no obligation to favor me if I misuse His relationship and try to profit by trying to be more spiritual than others. God has no obligation. David said, I humbled myself. My heart is not haughty. My eyes lofty. I think about the moment we're in. How we need sons and daughters to know who they are. See, I'm not. You don't have to compete against anybody in the church. You have your own gift. That just shows in the church. God has an appointment for you. You're supposed to be pastoring. He has an appointed time. You're supposed to be an elder or deacon. There's an appointed time. Don't look to man. Look to God. And sometimes you might think your gift is not being used right yet. Well, that's true. We all go through that. There's a process. But there will come an appointed time where God will release you. You cry out the Father. If we look to Him. And if we allow the presence of God to free us from the impurities of the world and His thinking. I love Brother Mike was sharing this morning about church. It's not a social club. It's a house of God. I want to encourage you this morning. Keep your appointment with God every morning. And there'll come a time when He'll surprise you. Answer of that prayer will happen. And it won't be because of anything you've done. His mercy. Can you imagine the smile from the stop of this? Can you imagine the smile from the prodigal son's father? Can you imagine as he looked down the road, saw a figure, recognized, as he got closer? So, God so loved. Everlasting love, Jeremiah said he's drawing. Your Father is waiting for you and I to keep walking back, keep walking towards Him. Allow the Spirit of God to take off the wrong thinking patterns, the worldly carnal patterns that keep us in an immature spiritual state. Because a child, even though he's the heir, won't receive all that he's supposed to have if he's childish. Because when I was a child, I thought I was a child. Let me tell you, friends, he performs the thing that's appointed. Many of you know the story. The first time I saw a Debbie, and only say three words, God spoke to me, that's going to be your wife. I don't know anything about God speaking. I have that long hair, still beard, and pot in my guitar case. In 6 years, God was getting a bit. I was not raised in the church to talk about God speaking to people. But I knew he knew what he said. So as I'm standing there with Bishop John, it's the wedding day. It was an appointment song. And as my beautiful bride came up, sang a song to her. God. Amen. You've got some appointed times with God. Your next appointment isn't death. Your next appointment is life. Your next appointment with God is something you've been believing for years. Don't look to man. Treat each other as you would treat Christ. But the timing of God is in your Father's hands. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up, give God a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give him a real